Who is your daddy?
I am your father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to Fathers of the Grind podcast. It's a new episode. Derek, how you doing?
I'm solid. I mean, this is the big episode. This is big episode 1-4.
It is, yeah. It's really one of those things. It's kind of like the 7 years of marriage. Once you get past episode 14 of a podcast show, you know you've made it. You know you've gotten through the hard times.
And so Tim, I can tell you sell things for a living because you just make crap up as you go.
I take whatever's said and I jump on it like, yeah, totally, and here's why.
Yeah, episode 14 so great because of this reason. Yeah. No, it's really not.
Statistics will show you nothing about episode 14. So welcome, you guys. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate those of you who have joined the Fathers of the Grind Facebook group. We've got a really great community going there. So if you haven't joined it yet, please do. You feel free to join in. And whether it's about video games or not, we talk everything from TV shows, maybe family stuff, general opinions. I mean, we try to keep it pretty drama-free. We try to avoid too much political stuff or too many things that are overly offensive, but for the most part, people are free to post their thoughts, opinions on mostly video games, but also a wide variety of other stuff. So I really like the community that's being built up there. So thank you guys who are already part of that, and feel free to include others who you think might be a good fit for that group there. Again, you don't need to be a parent to join that, just because we're called Fathers of the Grind, and we are parents. That's our perspective. That group is open to everybody, not just guys, not just parents, not even just gamers, although that's our main topic. So, all right. Speaking of family stuff, Derek, why don't you give us an idea of what you've been doing, what your family been up to? How's the Teague household?
Doing pretty solid. You know what? The answer is pretty much going to be the same every time. It's going to be we're doing sports.
How's the weather in Florida?
It's about 22 degrees,
yeah, pretty standard.
Snowing, blizzards, yeah. Torpedoes, not tornadoes.
Classic Florida April.
Classic April torpedoes.
Yeah, I didn't even hear you say that, torpedoes.
Yeah, I was trying to say tornadoes. I'm like, yeah, torpedoes.
A lot of submarine attacks in Florida.
Yeah, so I mean, same answer. We're doing, you know, all the outside sports, playing soccer, basketball. Daughter's still in softball, season's still going. Both sons are about ready to start rec league soccer. Mm-hmm. So that's still going. And as far as gaming goes, I did get to sit down over the weekend and play some Rocket League with the kids. I actually shared one of the stories on our Facebook group about how my daughter turned and she was so excited after she played a game of Rocket League, and I'm not exaggerating, had a big smile on her face and said really loud, yeah, Dad, I scored 35 points. And I looked at her and I was like, yeah, honey, I love you, but that's terrible. And for those who don't play Rocket League, 35 points, you can literally just sit there and your car will somehow magically get 35 points just sitting there.
Just an accidental, like, clear ball or something like that.
Exactly. The ball accidentally hits your car and it's like, 20 points, clear.
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. That is rough that you responded that way. It's
rough. Well, I prepare my kids for the real world.
I
softened the blow by telling her I loved her. But here's the best thing. My daughter's like so used to it. She was like still smiling. She was just kind of like, okay, all right, let's move on.
She still felt good about those 35.
Yeah, she didn't care.
You can't bring me down, Dad.
Yep.
All right, well, we had a birthday in our household this week. So my oldest is now 9. And
I think I'm pretty sure I'm going to cut you off.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure.
Uh-huh.
Since becoming Facebook friends with your wife, that I see a celebration of one of your children's birth literally every week.
Right.
And I've been friends with her, I feel like, 8 weeks. So that means you actually have 8 children.
Yeah, and they were born 1 week after the other. Yep.
Yes.
That's how it works. Yep, they're all 9. Yeah.
I mean, literally every week. Yep.
We are heavy into birthday season. We've got one birthday in January. The twins were born in February. And now my son is born early April. So, yeah, they are kind of fast and furious. But, hey, you know what? Don't you worry. we've got a solid 4 months till the next birthday, so don't you worry.
All right, good. I need a break from those posts.
Well, so for my 9-year-old son's birthday, I mean, of course, we got to go out and do some fun stuff. We went to see Zootopia as a family.
Nice.
Great movie, one of Disney's best in a while, and Disney's made some good ones. I really have enjoyed like Tangled, Frozen. Those are all good. Wreck-It Ralph was amazing, and Zootopia was really, really good. So I recommend it for all of you. Even if you don't have kids, if you have an interest in animated movies whatsoever, like if you can kind of let go of your adult pride a little bit, if you don't usually watch animated movies, just watch this one. It's really good. Very funny. Good movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I want to see it again.
Yeah, all five of my kids watched it. So from my 3-year-old daughter up to my 9-year-old son, held their attention for the entire, I think it's almost 2 hours long. It's a little bit longer, but it's good. It's really, really good. So, and then he got to go on a little shopping spree with some birthday cash that he got, so he loaded up on a whole bunch. He's got like a Nerf gun arsenal now. He bought these giant guns that are bigger than him, so he's got this huge Nerf gun arsenal. More power to him, that's fine. And what I got him was, he's been watching me and then trying out a little bit of the game Might and Magic Clash of Heroes on the 360, which is backwards compatible on Xbox One. So we've been playing that, and I let him start his own save file and try it out a little bit. If you guys haven't played it, it's a kind of a fun, it's a little bit like a match 3 puzzle game, but it's different because it's a turn-based RPG as well. It's hard to describe if you haven't played it, but it's a very fun little strategy game with an interesting enough story, and he likes it a lot. So I got it for him for his DS. They had a DS copy on Amazon for like $10, so I got that for him, and he likes that a lot. He's really digging it. So it was a good couple of weeks here for us with birthday celebration. And one more quick thing. I don't know if any of you guys out there, maybe you, Derek, if you guys do any kind of card tricks. I'm not really a great card player, although I do like cards, and I'm not really great at card tricks. But I have like 2 or 3 tricks I learned as a kid, you know, kind of sleight of hand, you know, here's your card type easy tricks. So I taught all my kids their first trick. So they've been spending almost every day playing this card trick on each other. They all know the trick. I showed it to all of them. It's a really simple one. And so they've been doing card tricks a lot recently. So that's what they've been up to recently. So, yeah. Do you guys do much of that? Any card playing or maybe card tricks? Is that a thing? Or am I weird?
No, we just punch each other. That's
Yeah. Okay. I assumed that. I just didn't know if there was.
Yeah, there's no weird card tricks. We just hit each other, we yell, and we tell each other that 35 points sucks.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad.
That's pretty much Teague family.
You know, what? It actually reassures me, because that's what I imagined it's like in the Teague family, so it's nice to hear that I was pretty close.
Think of, I know you'll get this, like you'll understand it. Think of like Far Cry Primal.
Mm-hmm.
And how they interact. That's the Teague family.
Oh.
Roar, roar. Like, just a lot of yelling, gurgling, smelly noises, just stuff like that.
Giving each other missions to go complete. Sure. Yeah.
Drinking blood.
Yeah.
With eyeballs.
Drink this and you will become the mammoth. Yeah, sure. I know.
Yeah.
I follow you.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of games, give me one game that you're currently playing right now. I know we're both kind of, we always bounce around between games, but let's just keep it simple and tell me about one game you're playing and what you like or don't like about it.
Well, since I just finished Fallout 4, I actually am focused on one game right now. On Tuesday...
Well, hang on. You finished Fallout 4. That's worth saying. Sweet.
Yeah.
Finally finished it.
Well, by say... just to be clear, by saying I finished it, I'm just talking about the main campaign. I don't think anybody actually finishes Fallout.
Yeah, that's a win. Nice work.
But I really focused on it, finished the main campaign over the weekend. Yeah, I did it the weekend. So I finished it Sunday. It's an awesome game. Loved it. If I didn't have thousands upon thousands of games, it's one of those that I could say, oh yeah, I'd love to go back and play it again, but not going to happen.
You probably won't, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I might start it one time, missing it, and play it a couple hours, and then move on.
Okay.
Or maybe the
DLC, you might try the DLC, you think?
Ooh, yeah. If it's half off sometime, I'll do that.
Okay.
But the game I'm actually currently playing, released on Tuesday, it's called Quantum Break.
Nice.
And I kind of went into this game pretty, well, kind of, understatement. I went into it pretty hyped.
Well, yeah, a few episodes back, you worked to hype up everybody else about it. So tell
that
us
was
how,
my
how was it
goal,
delivered.
And I think I sold like 1.256 people on it. So I really, really helped Remedy get some sales for that game.
You did. Did you tell them? Did you call them? Tell them about that?
Yeah, I was like, hey, guys, it's Derek. And they hung up.
I like how last week you walked us through a Sony phone call. Walk us through your Remedy phone call.
Well, I mean, it was like, hey, my name's Derek. And they just, like, blocked the caller right there.
Is this Remedy?
Is this Remedy? But, yeah, I hyped the game. Because, in my opinion, and I'm not going to go into too detail, I don't want to take everybody's time up, I felt like Quantum Break was, like, basically the Xbox version of an Uncharted-type game. And I felt like it was lacking a lot of hype because most of the friends I know or people I know are mainly PS4 owners. Mm-hmm. The Xbox One, even some of the Xbox One owners, while they're intrigued by the game, they weren't like, oh, I'm buying it. And I was shocked by this because I was like, this is an Uncharted-style game being made, developed by a, to me, a publisher you can really trust. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they're as big as Naughty Dog. I wouldn't even say they're as good as Naughty Dog. They're not, in my opinion. But Remedy is a really good studio.
Yeah, you got a good
but anyway, so yeah, so I went into it with a good amount of hype.
Okay.
And I just actually got done playing before we recorded. I'm in Act 2. Part 3 of Act 2, I believe, and I think
how far
three...
into the game is that? Is that halfway through? What's that look like?
I think there's 3 parts per act, so once I finish Part 3, I'll be in Act 3, and I believe, and I could be wrong, there is 5 acts.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little less than halfway through.
Okay, cool.
So far, my initial impressions are, while I like it, I wouldn't say I love it. And here's the things that I like, and again, I'm not going to waste too much time, but I did want to talk about this game. I think the combat's really good. Mm-hmm. I think about it this way. Think of Infamous and Uncharted, you know, getting crazy with each other. Hooking up, and this is what Quantum Break is. So while it is a cover-based shooter, and it is a cover-based shooter, the game really... Unlike Uncharted, it forces you out of cover. Meaning, like, even though in Uncharted you do get forced out of cover, you always have a place to take cover.
Right.
These enemies are so powerful, and you can die pretty quickly on normal, and I imagine harder difficulties is probably almost to one shot kill. They force you out pretty fast, and that forces you to use your powers. But your powers are not unlimited. So therefore, they have to charge, so you also have to take cover. So it's like this vicious circle of you're constantly having to move around, take cover, while still using your powers to take down enemies.
How's the movement feel? Does it feel pretty smooth?
While I've focused more on reviewers who thought negatively of the game and said that the movement was sluggish, I actually disagree. I think the movement is pretty good. It's real loose. It's real easy to get into cover because I thought this was pretty cool. The game automatically puts you in cover. So if you are standing next to something that, like, let's say a truck, the game automatically puts you in cover, right? As long as you're right next to the
truck. You
don't
have to, like, push against it or anything?
You don't have to push A, you don't have to push up, you don't have to do anything. You just get near it, it's going to take cover. Nice. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
You cannot shoot out of cover. Here's the thing, and this is, again, I'm responding to negative reviews here. I understand people want to be able to just lift their gun over a barrier and start shooting
like
blindly.
Blind fire, yeah.
Yes, but think about it this way. I just want people to think for a second.
Uh-oh.
If you're playing in a third-person game and you're controlling a character,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing, and I'm doing quotation mark expression, blind fire, are you really blind since you're actually in third-person mode and you can see everything around
That's
you?
That's a good point. All it really does is make it really poorly aimed fire.
Exactly.
Like, think of Uncharted does that, where, yeah, you can totally see and kind of aim the reticule towards the guys, but chances are good you're going to shoot a circle around them before you hit them, but
exactly.
You're right.
But if you were really Nathan Drake and you were in first-person view and you were trying to do blind fire, you would not be able to see where your targets are. You would literally be lifting your gun up and shooting at air. So the Remedy basically took that out. Now, I'm not saying that's why they did it, But I think if that is their logic, I've always understood that. Resident Evil 6 is another game that did that, where you can blind fire in Resident Evil 6, and it is a third-person game. But and I thought this was pretty cool. What they do is they fade out the background. Like, you can't see clearly. Everything's That's fizzy. Cool.
I was going to say, there's got to be a way to kind of balance that, because I do like having that blind fire option
exactly.
when you're feeling overwhelmed. And if the AI is set up in the right way, you start blind firing just to make them back off for a minute, to get back to cover. I'm not usually even trying to kill anybody with blind fire. I'm just trying to give myself a moment to either quickly reload or get in a better position. And that blind fire, I haven't been in many gunfights in real life, maybe a few, not too many, but I would imagine it's a good way to make, you know, maybe not suppress them completely, but at least get them back into cover. So,
no, and I agree. And I think Resident Evil 6 does it the best. So what I was saying is that while I like the fact that it's more realistic, it's also a little bit as far as gaming, because again, obviously it's not a realistic game. I just told you, you have superpowers.
Right.
But it does kind of not make sense in the game world, because you're like, well, why can't I just do this? Every other third-person shooter does it. So, anyways, I think the good balance would be if games that are third-person would do more like Resident Evil 6. Yes, Resident Evil 6 did something good. And have it where it, like, basically, you can see them, but you can barely see them. It's very, it kind of shields the visibility.
Yeah.
But anyways, the gameplay is great in Quantum Break. I really, really like it. I'm just kind of learning how to use the powers effectively. I wasn't very good at them in the beginning, because I was kind of, they throw them at you pretty fast. So I kind of got overwhelmed, like, what does LB do? What is RB? Oh, I mean, okay. I didn't understand. But now I'm paying attention a little bit more, more focused. I got some quiet time to do it. So gameplay is great. Story. So far, great. It's got a great mystery to it. You want to know what's happening. They give you decisions that you can make as well, and they do impact the game. Certain people will die based off your decisions that may have not died if you played it a different way.
Okay.
I will say
some
that
major consequences of stuff.
Yeah, there's some consequences, but it's kind of like, and I think we talked about this, so I want to make sure our listeners understand this. While you're making decisions throughout the game that do impact your playthrough, once you get to the end, it's the same ending, no matter what you do.
Yeah,
there's no different ending.
That's fine. Yeah.
And I've never seen it yet, so I don't know if the ending's good, but I just want to make sure people understand this isn't like an open-ended game, like a Mass Effect, where it's like all your decisions come down to which ending you're going to get. You're going to get the same ending no matter what you do. But the story's intriguing, it's good, it's well acted, the gameplay is good, so what am I not in love with? This is the shocking part. Every person compliments the graphics, I'm not blown away by them.
Oh,
and I think it's because I'm not a big fan, first of all, it has like a, almost like a grainy film look to it, which that's fine, but then I don't like the color palette, it's very bland. It's not shiny. It's not also real dark. It's kind of just bland looking to
me. Does it not have its own unique style in that vein? Since so many games these days are super shiny with that kind of sheen over it, does that not give it a unique style, you think? I haven't seen it, so I'm just asking.
No, I mean, for me, it doesn't look terrible. Not that I think people will be like, yeah, it's a totally ugly game. It's not. I just see so many people praising it for being the best looking game of this generation. I've heard people say that, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, maybe like the actors and actresses look that good, but the world around me to me seems kind of bland.
Okay.
It definitely has a Remedy touch to it, because everything kind of looks boxy to me.
Yeah.
The boxes literally are boxes. So it didn't blow me away in that department, but overall, I'm really enjoying it, and it's one of those games where it's like, cool, it's not that long, plus it's fun, so I'm going to be able to finish it. It's not a 40-50 hour journey, it's a 9-10 hour journey, and if I end up liking it as much as I think I'm going to, then I can replay it, and I do like playing shorter experiences over and over. I mean, I've shared before, I've beat The Last of Us 5 times, I've beat BioShock Infinite 5 times,
and Tomb Raider,
so I like... Huh? Yeah, and Tomb Raider, I beat that 5 times. I like going back and playing those games if they're the 10 to 15 hour experience that's just going in and going in, blowing crap up, getting the story, and moving on.
All right, so two quick questions for you about this game. Number one, where would it rank in terms of, like, you know, younger kids being able to watch you play it or even play it themselves? Is it pretty violent? Is it pretty mature? Where does it rank in that, in those terms?
I would keep it away from kids if you don't like them hearing foul language.
Okay.
It's got a lot more than I didn't. I don't know.
Are we talking maybe PG-13 style? Or are we talking rated R style?
Oh, rated R. Gotcha. F-bombs, all that. Rated R for the language. Violence isn't bad at all. I mean, there's like
division, like shooting each other, but not really violent.
Yeah, they're like, they have like the slowdown kills, which is pretty cool. Like when you kill the last guy in a room, you know it's the last guy by the fact that the game will like do that like bullet time effect almost, where the bullets are going into him, and then there's like a little bit of spray of blood. And when I say a little bit, it's literally a little bit. It's
well,
not
that
like
sounds kind of
an
like
overly gruesome game.
Sounds like the Batman Arkham games, where you finish a combat sequence and you punch out the last dude, and it kind of goes in that slow mo, big punch, you know. And then,
yeah,
and
that's
then,
what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Last question, do you see this being a game that's going to stay full price for a long time, or do you have the feeling that if someone, like me, for example, decides, I want to get it, but I'm going to wait till I can save some money on it, do you think it's going to be the kind of thing that hits a discount in the near future, or do you feel like, I don't know anything about sales numbers yet, I haven't looked, that maybe I should have. I feel like it's going to be something that's going to stay full price for a while, and if you want to play it anytime soon, just go for
it. I'm going to say because it's an Xbox One exclusive, you're going to see it $40 in just a sale, not a price drop, probably in less than a month. Like, I'll probably be posting on the group, hey, Best Buy has Quantum Break for $50, $40 with GCU. You know, I'll probably be posting something like that soon.
Right, cool.
because that's just been what's been happening with Xbox One exclusives. I think they've been selling decent, but I don't know. Microsoft seems desperate to me. We can talk about it another time, but I'm just talking in terms of their pricing. They seem to be dropping everything really fast. Like, they'll just be like, this is on sale right away. And it's like, really? That fast?
I know they did it with Rise of the Tomb Raider. That dropped down to 40, I think, before the end of the year even. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Pretty
I
sure
mean,
even
they were
in
having
December.
Sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Halo 5 had sales pretty quickly.
It did.
So
That's
it's
right.
been all of them.
That's right. Yeah, their biggest exclusives this past fall had sales really quickly. Interesting. Okay.
And I'm disappointed because I pre-ordered this game and I have not gotten a PC code, so I don't know what's going on. I really wanted to see
and you should be
if the game
Alan Wake
looks
too.
Better. Yeah, well, I do have Alan Wake.
Okay.
I got all that. I already had the Alan Wake game,
yeah, but
so
you
I gave
still
the codes
needed to
away.
Get the codes. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I got the Alan Wake Nightmare code, and I gave it away to Jesse White tonight.
Nice. Congrats, Jesse.
And if I get, like, the Alan Wake game or something like that, I'll probably randomly give it away to somebody else. Nice. But or maybe Jesse again, because I like Jesse. Basically, what I was going to say is I wanted to see what it looked like on PC, because it's supposed to look, obviously, a little bit better if you have a higher powered PC, which mine's a little bit more powerful than my Xbox One. And it's supposed to be, you can get it up to 60 frames per second, whereas I believe the Xbox One version's locked at 30. So I wanted to try it on PC, because I wanted to see if I could, you know, format it to basically look just as good as the Xbox One, but play at 60 frames per second. But I haven't got my code, and I don't know if Microsoft just is dropping the ball or what.
You should call them too. You have all these numbers.
I'm actually probably going to call Sony to talk to them about Quantum Break.
I would love that. It'd be like ordering a Big Mac and Burger King. You should do that. Please do that.
You know that's my personality. I'll probably do it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I wanted you to have some time to talk about that, because it's a new game. It just came out. It's a big exclusive that everyone's been looking forward to. Every Xbox One owner, at least, been looking forward to. And so I wanted you to have time to share about that. I know we've got a few others in the group who've been playing it and sharing. Like, I think Dan Phillips just jumped into it recently. And I know that Thomas James Giretis, I can't say his name right, Giretis.
Thomas, I'm going to say it's not said with like a J sound.
Oh, okay. Well, Thomas.
It's Uretis.
Yeah, well, I know I butchered names recently, and I really apologize for that. But Thomas, I do want to give you a compliment. He writes very clearly and articulately and in detail about his game experiences. If you guys are in our group, check out his posts. I love the way he describes his game experiences, and he did it with The Division and a few others, and now he's writing some thoughts on Quantum Break, and he also does some writing on his blog as well, you guys. But anyway, he had some great thoughts on Quantum Break, I thought, and I think he's going through another playthrough. So there might be some others too. So
he's on his second playthrough already. I think he's in like Act 3 or 4, and he's making all like opposite choices. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. he's getting to see everything the game has to offer, which is cool. I know. I believe Colin Perkins is playing as well.
Cool.
So there's a few few people gaming it. Right
now. So I wanted you to have a chance to share about that in case any of our listeners are kind of on the fence about it. They wanted to hear more about it. So,
I really only wanted to share about it to piss off all the Sony ponies. So.
Yeah, well, you've called me that before, and I'm perfectly happy. It doesn't bother me at all. So sorry, mission not accomplished.
All right. You're a terrible Sony pony.
One game that I've been playing recently is I finally fired up God of War 3 Remastered, and I had played God of War 1 and 2, liked both of those games, even though there's a lot of ridiculousness going on in those games, but I really enjoyed them. It's probably some of the most fun, just straightforward, bloody action combat that I've ever experienced. And then I also played the PSP games, Chains of Olympus and is it Ghost of Sparta, I think? I think those are the PSP ones. They're all really great. I prefer the console ones because the PSP controls weren't ideal, but the PSP games were a lot of fun. So if you have access to those in your Vita or PSP, I recommend, if you like God of War, play those. All really fun games. I had never played God of War 3, and I had not played God of War Ascension, I think that's what it's called. Is that a separate game, or is that a remake of
something? Yeah, Ascension's the prequel.
Okay, yeah, so those are two that I hadn't played yet. So I am now working my way through God of War 3 Remastered on the PS4, and it is a beautiful game. It really is. It's a gorgeous game. I stand by my statement I've made before. I really don't think Kratos is a great hero character. That being said, he's a blast to play as in terms of just angry, brutal, over-the-top combat. Like, his personality fits with the type of fighting that you're doing in that game. But as far as, like, when it gets to a cutscene and there's dialogue, it's very cringy. And it's not necessarily the writing, although some cases it might be, but just the character of Kratos. Like, no matter what is said, his response is always just basically, Zeus will die, like, all the time. Like, that's all he's ever going to say. So, gets a little old. But there's a balance that you have to strike when playing some of these games. It's the same thing as watching, like, a summer blockbuster. Like, you go to see Transformers, you're not going to see some Academy Award-nominated writing and acting. You're going just to see big, crazy screen action. And it's the same thing with God of War games. You play them. Some of the story is interesting. Some of the way they use the mythology from Greek mythology is interesting. And I've always liked Greek mythology. But you're not really there for the story. Let's be honest. You're there just for the spectacle and for the fun of playing the game. So I'm really enjoying it. The weapons they give you are great. I just got these, and I already forget the name of them, but it's one of those whip weapons that's got little knives on them and you spin them around. They're really, really fast. I forget the names of them. But anyway, they're very cool, very fast, and it really opens up what normally the Chains of Olympus or the Blades of Exile, those are the two chain weapons you get in the game. But then when you get this really fast version of that weapon, I really enjoy that a lot. So that's really cool. They also give you this big giant fist that you can use to slam everybody. So there's a nice variety in the weapons. The powers are pretty cool, but a lot of it's very familiar. So the one thing I would say about it is it's the best version of a God of War game, but it is still yet another God of War game. So I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to getting to the end and finishing it and kind of seeing how they wrap up this story. But that being said, I'm even more excited about the rumors that have been dropping recently about possibly a Norse mythology change in setting for the next God of War game. Don't know if that's true, but there have been some rumors floating around about that. So that would be interesting.
I believe it's true, and I'm like you. I can't wait.
I don't know as much about it. I do know some, but not nearly as much as... I mean, Greek mythology, I was much more knowledgeable on based on just the way it's much more popular in other entertainment aspects and movies and TV shows and books. So I'm much more familiar with it than I am Norse mythology. So that would be really cool to experience that, that side of things. But that being said, that's one of the main games I'm working through right now. Definitely do not play that around kids. There's not one scene I can think of that would be okay for kids to see. So do not play that. Oh, if your kids are cool with super violence, some nudity, and you know whatever else offensive things happening, then go ahead. If, I don't want to tell you how to parent, but I would not have that around my kids. So, yeah.
I mean, I let my kids play it all the time.
I will say that when they, the scenes, and this isn't a spoiler if you haven't played it, but there's certain scenes where you kind of take down other major characters, major players in Greek mythology, and those scenes aren't really difficult because the battle's already won, and they're just these little kind of quick time action reaction sequences, and they're incredibly brutal but very satisfying to kind of complete those. It's pretty messed up but pretty awesome at the same time. So yeah, I'm enjoying God of War 3 Remastered. All right,
sweet.
Let's talk about the first quarter. So we are now in April, and so that means that 25% of this year is now over. And so the first quarter of the year is behind us, and we are now into quarter two, and the first major release, of course, already having arrived in Quantum Break, and more to come. But let's talk about the first quarter, and I want to find out from you what you would consider to be the most disappointing games that were released in January, February, or March. So give me a couple games that you would say, that doesn't mean that they're awful, but for you, for you personally, you were disappointed by what games?
Yeah, I would say the two I picked are just disappointing to me personally. I definitely don't think they're bad games. The two are The Division and Firewatch. I think The Division is actually a fun game when I play with people. I think the only thing I'm disappointed about it is I just really couldn't get into it by myself. Okay. Now, will that change down the road? Probably. I know how I am. If you would ask me 5 months ago how I felt about Fallout 4, I would say the exact same thing I'm saying about The Division.
Yeah.
Good game, I just can't get into it.
Yeah, I think our opening episode we talked about, I don't know if it's disappointing or games we just couldn't get into. We had some category that was like that, and that was one that you talked about, Fallout 4, but that changed. So
yeah, and now I really love and appreciate that game, and I know I will with The Division as well. And my brother and I have been trying to play it. We've played it a couple times together. He actually texted me last night. He's like, I'll be on in a little bit. And I'm like, all right, what are you playing? Figuring he's going to say The Division, but, you know, kind of crossing my fingers that he says Destiny. And he's like, I'll be on playing The Division. And but it took him a while to respond. So I actually didn't get his text until in the morning because I had actually dozed off. First night in probably months that I've gotten 8 hours of sleep. It felt great.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I think we should applaud that.
Yes.
Well done. Yeah. Thank you for that fake applause.
Yeah.
But I want to do this every quarter. So we're doing this now, but I'm hoping, and if we forget, hopefully our listeners will yell at us. But I would like to do a quarter two review, quarter three review, quarter four review, and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So,
well, in quarter two, we'll talk about this, but quarter two looks like it's got a whole host of what are probably going to be Game of the Year contenders. So, yeah, we'll get to that, though. Yeah.
Sweet. Now, Firewatch, another one that I can see why people like it. It's only a 4 or 5 hour game, and I have not beat it. I gave up on it after about 3 or 4 tries, and I was just like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the conversations, but I just hated the aimlessly walking around from place to place doing nothing. So, will I beat it at some point? Yeah, because I paid for it. I'll make sure I get my money's worth. But right now, it's a disappointment.
All right, well, the two that I would say are disappointing to me that were released in this first quarter, the first one would be Assassin's Creed Chronicles India. Now, here's why it's disappointing. The reviews on it were mediocre, and I fully expected it to be the same thing as China, but improved. But here's the thing. It's just the same thing as China, not improved. So I played Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, and I liked it because it's kind of like Mark of the Ninja clone set in the Assassin's Creed universe. So it's cool. It's fun. And here I am playing Assassin's Creed Chronicles India, and it feels like the exact same game. Now, I don't know what I was expecting. I was just hoping for some improvements, maybe some improved AI of some kind, some additional just kind of wrinkles they would throw in there, maybe something to spice it up, to make it more fun, maybe, or maybe at least a story that was compelling, because China didn't really have a compelling story. It just had some fun side-scrolling stealth gameplay. This story is no better so far. I don't know, probably 4 chapters in. I think it's got 12 chapters. And I'm just disappointed by it in general. I was really hoping for a step up, at least in the narrative, if not in the gameplay. So I'm a little disappointed about that. It's still a good game, but it has that same floaty feeling that China had. Some of the detection things that they have, and some of the combat in general just isn't that fun compared to other games. So, you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good, not great. The other one that I would classify as being a little disappointing, again, but not bad, and that is Final Fantasy Explorers for the 3DS. Now, we bought this game in January, and I know that Kyle, I think Dan Phillips, Mark Allen, a few others bought this game as well.
Yeah.
And it is a cool game, but I'm disappointed in it for a few reasons. Number one, the overall visuals just weren't quite doing it for me. Like, it's not the prettiest game, even for a 3DS game. So that was
pretty ugly.
That was a little disappointing for me. I was hoping for something a little bit prettier, at least the backgrounds or something to be a little bit prettier, but all of it's pretty ugly. And just in general, like, there wasn't anything there to hook me. So the gameplay loop of getting more gear and going out and running missions, it's not as user-friendly or seamless as it should be for a game that really is just about that gear grinding and upgrading loop. It's a little bit too tedious to even get a mission, to go out on that mission, to complete it, to come back and turn it in, and then get a new mission. So I found it to be a little bit tedious. So in terms of a single-player experience, not that great. I know you and I played a couple missions. It had fun moments, but overall, a little disappointed by that game.
Yeah, I tried to play it by myself because we weren't playing that much, and I felt like I didn't pay a lot for it. I think I paid 16 or 17 bucks for it.
Yeah, me too. I think I paid 11 with all my Best Buy stuff.
Yeah, so I didn't pay much for it. But still, you know, I don't like using certificates on stuff I don't care about.
Right.
So I tried to play it by myself, and I just couldn't get into it. Not a terrible game, not bashing it. It's just one of those, I was like, dude, are you really going to play it with all these other games?
Right.
And I'm not playing with Kyle or Tim or any of them because I think they're all playing something else as well.
Yeah.
So I actually traded it in at GameStop and got like 25 for it.
Oh, that's a good deal. So you made money on that game, basically, kind of.
Yeah, technically, even though, you know, I really paid the regular price was with tax $33, but with my certificates it dropped it down to like 18.
All right, cool.
So
cool.
Not bad.
Yeah, so again, not horrible games, those 4 that we mentioned, but just, you know, a little disappointing for each of us personally. But there were some games that I felt like I missed out on in the first quarter. So there's 3 games in particular that I'm hoping sometime this year, maybe even sooner, like hopefully not by the end of the year, hopefully sooner than that, but there's 3 games that I'd love to be able to play. And the first one is The Witness on the PS4. I can't wait to play that game. But I need to be in the right place, like in that right mood, the right mode of what I want to get into. It's kind of, same thing with a city builder or a turn-based RPG. You just got to be in the right place to start a game like that. So I'm hoping to get into The Witness at some point, maybe a summertime game, I think. And then Unravel. You know, I like my platforming games, but that one looks beautiful, and I've heard it's at least good. Maybe not amazing or perfect, but I've heard it's good. Want to play Unravel. And then I don't know if this one will be possible anytime soon, because maybe it'll never come to consoles, but who knows? Maybe I'll somehow be able to get access to a PC that can run it. But I want to play XCOM 2. I really do. That game, of course, reviewed amazingly, and I loved XCOM 1. So those are the 3 that I feel like I missed out on. Did you feel like you missed it on any, or were you pretty satisfied from Q1?
I did think of one, and that's Republic. Was released in March on the PS4.
That was Q1. That's right. That's right.
And I've been wanting to get it, but I've been trying to pressure Tim into getting it. And
so you can come over to my house and play it. Is that what you mean by?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if you know that Tim guy, but he's difficult to pressure because he kind of just like, I feel like even though we're just talking through text, I feel like he's smiling. Yeah. But I'm never gonna do it. You know, so I'm trying to apply pressure.
Yeah.
I'm actually applying pressure right now.
Yeah.
Tim, I want Republic. Even if I'm going to ignore it, I just want to know that I have access.
Well, I want to pose a question to anyone who's listening. If you have played Republic, is it worth, is it as it currently stands, I think all five, I don't know if it's episodes or missions or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's five episodes.
Is it worth $25 or would you recommend, if, for those of you who have played it, would you recommend, hey, it's good, but wait till it goes on sale. It might not be worth $25. I'm curious about that. I don't know. $25 seems a little bit steep for a mobile port. Just feels
the only person I know that's, it reviewed well, just so you know. It's reviewed really well. Uh-huh. The only person I know that commented and said, and I believe it was when we were talking about this game, he said, I really liked episode one, was Moose Cluel.
That's right. That's right. He does like Cluel. That game. Yeah.
So he has it. He okay. usually likes crap games. So that might not be
He's
a good thing.
He's got a good
taste
in games, at least as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the only game I feel like I've missed. XCOM 2 is one that I have the ability to get it, and I could get it for $30, but it's one of those where it's like, oh yeah, I'll buy it, but I know I won't play it. So I'm going to wait until it's like
Steam
$8 to $10.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it drop and then I'll get it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's good. Well, let's talk about our favorite games, then. Let's get off this negative train. Games we missed, games are disappointing. Let's cheer things up a little bit. Let's talk about our favorite games from Q1. Let's just do... I know you've got a longer list than I do. Why don't you just kind of... Let's talk about your top three if you want to, but let's just run down from your... It looks like you have 7 games, unless you've added more since then. Go from 7 all the way up to 1.
Okay, and let me, I didn't really put them in order, but I'm going to tell you, let me just so people understand, my list is not games that just released in quarter one.
That's
These
fine.
Are games that I played in quarter one and how I felt about them,
okay.
even though some of them are ones that released in quarter one.
Okay.
All right, so the ones I wrote down, they're not in any particular order, are Resident Evil 1, the remaster, totally loved that. Mm. Resident Evil 0 remaster, loved it. Fire Emblem Birthrights, I'm getting closer to the end. I'm in the 20s now. Far Cry Primal, I'm not real far in it, but the 5-6 hours I spent in it, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that will be one of them, along with Quantum Break, that I finish soon. Zelda Twilight Princess, I'm about 4 or 5 hours into that. It's Zelda, I like it.
Right.
Probably the two games I'm going to mention here are probably the two favorites that I played and beat in quarter one, and that's Ori and the Blind Forest and Fallout 4.
Okay.
Those are probably my two favorite games that I played in quarter one and finished.
Well, let me put you on the spot. If you had to pick one that released in quarter one, let's just pick one, and it could change later. Right now, what jumps out at you right now as your favorite game so far that's released in quarter one that you've played? Even if you didn't beat it, just a favorite one that you've played.
I'm going to go with Zero, Resident Evil Zero.
Okay. How long ago was the original version of that? Because that's a remake, right?
Yeah. I think it came out on the GameCube originally, so I want to say 10 years.
Yeah, okay, or more. Okay. Cool. All right, well, good list. Well, mine is a little bit shorter, and I did keep it just to Q1 releases, although...
That is what she said, just so you know.
What? What did I say?
You said mine's just a little bit shorter.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Hey, go ahead and break that down for me. What does that actually mean? What's the... All right, so...
What do you mean by that?
Explain. How's that funny? All right, so my number three would be Firewatch. I loved that game. I did play it through and finish it. I think I just did it all mainly in one night, in a couple sittings, but all within one night. I really liked it. Like you said, the conversations were amazing. I actually really enjoyed wandering around that world. I thought it was a really beautiful environment they created. I liked it a lot. I really did like it a lot. So I don't know if it deserved all of the high praise that it got, because on the PS4, at least, there were some technical issues that I had to kind of ignore, kind of push through. But I liked it. I really did. Part of me hoped for a little bit more, both in terms of the overall game length and as well as in, you know, what the overall story ended up being. But I can't complain too much. It was a great experience. Number two would be Fire Emblem Fates. And I just listed it like that because I realized, yes, it's basically two full games with a third one that released a few weeks later. But as far as I'm concerned, the new Fire Emblem experience, I did not finish these games yet. But I think I've played enough to know, yep, one of my favorite games from Q1 will definitely be in the conversation for me when I'm considering Game of the Year at the end of 2016. And number one was far and away my favorite experience so far this year in gaming, and that was Far Cry Primal. It's one of my favorite games already this year. I know it's not a perfect game. I can acknowledge its faults, but I know for me personally, I haven't had that much fun with any other game yet in 2016. I had so much fun with that game, and even going through and getting all the trophies to platinum it, I still kind of wanted to play more, but I chose to put it down, put it aside. If I decided to do another playthrough, I will, but I wanted to leave a positive taste in my mouth for that game. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to overdo it. I didn't want to overstay its welcome. So those are my favorites so far from Q1. A few honorable mentions. I also really do like Hitman and The Division. I couldn't put them above these other three. But yeah, those two are definitely worth mentioning as solid games from Q1. Hitman and The Division. As well as, I didn't put it on my list, but Hitman Go Definitive Edition. It's an old release that they put out, but I finally played it, and I've been working through. I think I'm through most of the boards now on the PS4, and it's great. It's great. Hitman Go is a really great board game, puzzle game mixture, so it's good.
Did you beat the Hitman, like the first
the Paris
chapter
mission?
Or whatever?
Yeah, so I'm basically halfway through it. So one weakness that I know that it has is that I think, and I could be wrong about this, I think that game really encourages trial and error attempts. So you go through it, you just try stuff. You try poisoning this thing. You try walking up and mixing this guy's drink. If you get him sick, you can go into the bathroom and choke him out there. Or you create this fake meeting and you dress as a guard and go push him over the railing. They have all these things that can fall into place. And at the same time, if you miss it, you miss it. So the game has all these, what do they call, opportunities. And you can choose to track one, but it's very easy to miss it. Like, your opportunity's there, but if you miss the window, you got to find another opportunity. So part of me likes that. The other part of me is like, well, I don't want to reset this whole mission just because I, you know, missed that opportunity. So, you know, it's a balance between them trying to give you a realistic, quote-unquote realistic assassination experience as the hitman. And
but also being a little frustrating.
Also a little bit frustrating. So, yeah, I made it about halfway through. There's two targets in that main mode of that main mission. I took out one target. I was in place to take out the other one, and then I realized I kind of shot myself in the foot with the way that I set it up, and now there's no way to kill this person without getting caught, so I could either restart the mission, and I think I've already used up all the other opportunities, so I decided I'll come back to it when I've got the energy to restart the whole thing. So it's fun, but it just has some flaws. But it is fun. It is fun.
Sweet.
Quarter two is looking absolutely amazing. So let me just go through really quickly some of the highlights. And I did not pull every game that's coming out in quarter two. That would be a ridiculous.
This is just the big releases.
These are some of the big ones. And if I forget something, let me know. But let me just go through this real quick. We've got Quantum Break just dropped for Xbox One and PC. Dark Souls 3 comes out this week. Ratchet and Clank also comes out this week. I can't wait for that, by the way. It looks beautiful. I'm excited for
it. Now, let me ask you, and I know we're doing this real quick, but are you going to play Dark Souls 3?
No.
Not even going to give it a shot?
Nope. If there's a Souls-type game I'm going to dive into again, it's going to be Bloodborne.
Yeah, okay. Good, yeah. Good thought.
Star Fox Zero comes to the Wii U for you Wii U owners on April 22nd. Battleborn drops on May 3rd. Uncharted 4 on May 10th. Excited for that one. Doom comes out 3 days after that on May 13th. Homefront The Revolution, which I wasn't really paying attention to, that's coming sooner than I thought, May 7th.
Yeah, that was one of them that I planned. I was like, oh, this is going to be a day one, because Homefront always has, like, intriguing stories, and all they needed to do was kind of put the package around it, like the gameplay and all that.
Right.
And I've heard nothing but terrible things about this one, too. And I'm so like, are you freaking kidding me?
I really thought this one would be like, oh, okay, finally they're taking the cool concepts from the first Homefront and turning it into a great
great AAA experience. And again, I'm not judging the game yet. I'm just going based off of friends that I've heard write about the beta, plus I've also heard a lot of previews saying the exact same thing that the people that played the beta said, and that it was basically trash.
Well,
and I was
one thing to keep in mind, I remember all the previews for The Order 1886 sounding awful as well.
Yep,
and
exactly.
That game actually came out
game.
Being pretty decent and overly criticized, so we'll see what happens. Mirror's Edge Catalyst also comes out in May. That one looks pretty
exciting.
By the way, for those of you who have played the first Mirror's Edge, Let me know what you recommend. Should I go back and play the original? I'm sure I could find a cheap copy on 360 or something. Should I go back and play the original, or can I just jump into Catalyst? Let me know what you think about
it. All right, I did get feedback on that, if you want me to tell you. Yeah. I actually asked that question already, because okay. I bought Mirror's Edge on the PC. Mm-hmm. Beautiful game on PC, by the way. Does not look like a 360 game. But basically, there is no story, really. Like, there is a story, but nobody cared about it at all. Like, you play Mirror's Edge, at least the first one, you play it for the gameplay, which I've played a little bit of already, and it plays beautifully.
Like that free run and jumping stuff, yeah.
Exactly. So there is a story, but I think it's one of them that you and I could just YouTube if we wanted to. Okay. But I do believe Catalyst is trying to, and it's the reason I pre-ordered this game, two reasons. It's open world, and it's a beautiful freaking world. Yeah. And two, it looks like it's trying to give it character, give it story, give it something, give you a reason to play, which is important to me.
All right. Yeah, that one looks exciting. So I'm excited for that more than I was before. I think you and I talked about it recently, and I started to kind of pay more attention to it. So it does look really neat. Yeah, yeah. Actually, after we talked about it last, I went and watched some of the preview footage of it, and I was like, you know what? This actually looks really awesome. Like, I might really get into this. So
yeah, I watched like a couple of the developer diaries, and I was like, sold, done.
Yeah, yeah, it looks cool. Overwatch comes out that same day on May 24th. We got Overwatch and Battleborn both dropping in May. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, Mutants in Manhattan, will come out on that same day as well. Looks pretty cool. Kirby Planet Robobot comes out in June for you 3DS owners who like Kirby games. No Man's Sky will come out on June 21st. That's my most anticipated game of the summer, at least. And then Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens on the 28th. And then Star Ocean 5 Integrity and Faithlessness also.
Sam, really, and I don't know, you know, if I'll play Star Oceans a lot or anything like that. But I will say I'm really excited for it because I'm, like, itching for a good JRPG. I know I bought Tales, and it is good. Tales of Zestiria, it's a good game. But Tales games don't have, like, besides the world and characters, their gameplay isn't what I really want for a JRPG. I'm not saying it's bad, because I like Tales games. But Star Ocean seems like it's going to be more of what I want.
Okay.
So I'm excited for that.
Cool. I mean, that's, again, like we said before, that is just a much shorter version of the actual list of games coming out in April, May, and June. But quarter two is looking jam-packed. I thought quarter one was stronger than usual, than most years. Most quarter ones might have a game or two. I thought quarter one actually had a handful of really great ones. And now quarter two is looking equally strong, if not way stronger than quarter one. So that's going to be interesting when we get to July and kind of look back on these few months. So
out of all those games we just read off, the one you're most hyped for is No Man's Sky?
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Yep. There's a few others.
I'm going to go with Uncharted 4 for me.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's a few others that are close. Uncharted 4, Ratchet and Clank. And now Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Those other ones kind of vie for that position a little bit. But yeah, No Man's Sky. It's just, it's too unique. It's too new. It's too exciting to me what's happening with that game. Yeah, I'm most excited for that. I know what to expect with Uncharted 4. So even though I know it's going to be good, I'm pumped. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so very exciting. Well, cool. We are moving through this year rather quickly. It's pretty amazing. And you know, actually, when you think about the way that time flows super quickly, it reminds me that I'm getting older, and I know that you're already super old.
I'm like 95.
My sense of humor is actually getting older too, and I was called out for this more than once for good reason. I actually find super corny dad jokes to be really funny. And I think I told this in our group at one point, but I shared this in our group. But whenever I make really dumb puns or like dad type jokes at home, my wife, God love her, sometimes she'll give me a courtesy laugh, but other times she'll just kind of sigh and point to where the kids are and be like, your audience is over there. Like, so she knows, like, I'm not putting up with this dumb humor. Like, be clever, be funny. I'm down with that. But if you're going to bring these dad jokes and dumb puns to me, please go over that way. So what we wanted to do was include a couple of dad jokes for you guys. If you need these are not necessarily to make you laugh right now. These are for you to write down and use in your own life. We're trying to give you some tools so all your friends and family can know how hilarious you are. Now, I didn't have time to put many of these together. Derek, I know that you did have time to come up with a few. Do you have any dad jokes that you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I got a serious question for you. Why did the A go to the bathroom and come out as an E?
I don't know, Derek. Why?
Because he had a vowel movement. Yeah, that's good stuff.
See,
I'm
like
totally gonna kill. I'm gonna kill my kids with this tomorrow. All right, so okay, I got good. Another question for you.
Let's see, let me hear it.
Did you hear about the cheese factory that exploded in France?
No, I didn't. That sounds horrible. How many people died? Just kidding.
There was nothing left but debris.
I like the way you said debris. See, yeah. if I told even my oldest son that. He'd kind of laugh, but then he'd look at me like, what does that mean? Yeah. Little Brie is a kind of cheese. You know what, son? Never mind. That's good. Guys, share your dad jokes with us. We like stupid humor, and yeah, share those with us. And by the way, take those, use them. They'll be a hit around the dinner table with your family. Everyone will know how funny and clever you are. Wait a minute. Did a lot of people just stop listening just now?
I think, yeah. I think that- we actually... got blocked, unfollowed.
I just heard the sound of many people deleting the podcast right now. Wow, that's hurtful. All right, that's all right. They're going to miss the next and final part of our show this week, and that is a segment we're going to begin based on some listener feedback on our favorite consoles from each generation. And I liked this idea a lot. So we're going to kind of step back into our history of gaming a little bit, and we are going to go through, and it's not going to be very long, lasting segment because there's really only a certain number of generations for us to discuss. So here's what we're going to do. I went to Wikipedia, which I realize is not the be-all end-all of knowledge bases, but it does give a pretty cool chart to break this down. And it breaks it down into 8 generations of consoles. And we are currently in, according to this chart, the 8th generation right now. And so the first 3, for the sake of our discussion, I kind of want to skip past the first 3 and start with the 4th generation. So let me give you guys some context here. The first 3 generations, according to this chart right here, generation 1 would include Home Pong and Color TV from Nintendo. The second one includes the Atari's 2600, 5200, and the Nintendo Game & Watch. The third generation includes the Atari 7800, the XEGS, Nintendo's NES system, and the Sega SG-1000 and Master System. Now, I'm not saying those consoles are not important. I'm not saying there are no other consoles. There are probably others that aren't listed here. But the reason that I want to skip past all of those is because for me personally, I only played regularly 2 of those out of those entire first 3, and I only owned 1. Believe it or not, I never owned an original NES. I only played it at pretty much every friend's and cousin's house that I knew. I never owned one. And then I ended up playing a ton of NES games later in life via Virtual Console. But the 2600 for the Atari 2600, I owned that. So there's not really much for me to discuss in terms of my favorite from a generation. So as long as you're cool with it, Derek, unless you've got something you want to share from those consoles I just listed off, I want to skip right to the 4th generation where I actually really got into video gaming and started to understand the console war as it stands now. So anything from the first 3 generations you want to touch on?
No, not at all. Okay. 4th generation's pretty much where I mean, I played like a NES and stuff like that, but
okay.
Super NES and Genesis is where I think I really became.
Like, I honestly, for a long time, at least when I was younger, I didn't even realize that there was any other Sega system besides Genesis. You know, as far as like earlier systems than Genesis, I thought that was their first one. Back in the day, I didn't even know there was a Master System. So yeah, to me, there was no console war until we got to the 4th generation. And so that includes the Atari Lynx, the Nintendo Super NES and handheld Game Boy, and the Sega Mega Drive / Genesis and Game Gear. So that's where it really began for me. So let me share a little bit here. My brother and I, we went full Nintendo. We got the Super NES. We were actually, just to kind of rewind just a little bit, my family, we lived over in Budapest, Hungary in the early 90s. We were missionaries over there. And my brother and I used to get Nintendo Power, and we both had Game Boys, which were perfect for a traveling family like ours. We always traveled all over Europe and all over the States as well. And so Game Boys were our systems. Well, we found out we were moving back to the States for good, and we decided we wanted to buy, you know, put our money in together, our allowance, things that we earned, and buy a Super Nintendo. So we began using Nintendo Power to create our list of games we wanted to play. So, I mean, we were just Nintendo boys through and through. And so for the Super NES, we were going to buy everything from Ninja Turtles, that what is it called, Lost in Time, or I forget what it was called, Back in Time. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Turtles in Time. So we were going to get that. We were going to get Magic Sword. We were going to get Final Fantasy. We were going to get Super Mario World. We had all these games we couldn't wait to play. And we were Super Nintendo through and through. And when I finally experienced Sega Genesis, I was completely underwhelmed. I thought Sonic was completely weak compared to Mario. Just didn't play that well. I never thought it was that
fun.
You
were that harsh of a critic back then?
I was. I remember playing it and being like, this isn't fun. Like, it was fast and cool watching someone else play it, but actually playing Sonic was a little bit stressful and not that fun. I never really enjoyed it. Now, when I played a few other Sega games, like a few of the, I think they had like a Joe Montana's NFL Football for Sega. That was cool. I remember playing Beyond Oasis and Gunstar Heroes. Those were pretty fun games. But otherwise, didn't really get into Sega. So I went full on, Nintendo's better. If you like Sega, you're dumb. So early in my life, I very quickly jumped onto one side of the console war versus the other. So as far as home consoles, what about you? Where did you land with that generation?
Well, I had both. Started young by getting them all. But I would have to say, like, as you were talking, I was obviously not listening, and then I was trying to think of, like, the libraries for both of them.
Sorry, I like how it's just said as such a casual side comment. Well, as you were talking, obviously I wasn't listening, so what I want to do...
But I'm going to have to say Super Nintendo over Genesis. The main reason is there's a few franchises / games that come to mind. Big one is Killer Instinct. That was huge for me. Mm-hmm. I remember playing Mortal Kombat 2 more on the SNES than I did on the Genesis.
Even though the Genesis version was like the more violent version?
No, not in Mortal Kombat 2. On Mortal Kombat 1, I played on the Genesis because it was the more violent
one. I thought it was for all of them. Okay, just for one. Okay.
Yeah, but for Mortal Kombat 2, the Super NES actually had blood. Killer Instinct, Mortal Kombat 2, and then the big ones from Nintendo would be, Killer Instinct is from Nintendo, but Donkey Kong Country franchise. Oh, they released three games that I absolutely loved on the Super NES. Then you obviously have your Mario, Super Mario game. And then Mario Kart. That's where I really started getting into Mario Kart games. So those are like some of the big ones that just, again, I'm not looking at a list. I'm just thinking off the top of my head that I'm like, yeah, that's why I liked and loved the Super Nintendo.
Now, for me, for the Genesis, if I think back on it now with a little more of a fair perspective, there were franchises I had no idea existed. So when you said, you know, when anyone said to me something about the Sega Genesis back in the day, the only things that came to mind were Sonic, Echo the Dolphin, and a few of the others that I mentioned. I mean, not that many. I didn't really, in my mind, it was basically Sonic or versions of Sonic. You know, Sonic and Tails, you know, that sounds great. In my mind, it didn't have that much. But now that I have learned a little more about what that system had to offer, I wish I had experienced some of those early on. You know, the Shining Force series. And like I said, Beyond Oasis was a cool game. It was kind of Sega's answer to Secret of Mana. It's a good game. Beyond Oasis really is a good game. As well as the Phantasy Star games. You know, I had never really gotten to experience much of any of those. So that being said, the Super Nintendo, even if I had known about those Sega franchises that I missed, the Super Nintendo still to this day has so many of my all-time favorite games that I would still go back now happily and play. Everything from Chrono Trigger, which is always in my top list of games, if not the very top, Super Mario RPG, you had Ogre Battle March, the Black Queen, You had ActRaiser, one of the coolest and most underrated games that was ever made. A weird combination of city-building strategy and side-scrolling action. Really weird game. You had games like Blackthorn. You had Doom. You had even their version of SimCity I enjoyed playing. Like, the Super Nintendo had everything. Secret of Evermore, Secret of Mana. It had everything. Everything from fighting games to racing games, these incredible adventure games, random stuff like Bubsy, which I thought was hilarious at the time. Now I realize it was not a good platforming game, but that system had everything, and I absolutely loved it. The Super Nintendo, to me, I mean, we're not ranking overall consoles right now, but I don't know, if we did, it would be hard for me to see one that goes above that. I haven't thought through a list like that yet, but the Super Nintendo, to me, is so far above and beyond what anything else in that generation had to offer. Even now, looking back and seeing what the Genesis ended up having in the end, I still think Super Nintendo far and away outweighs it. So, just my opinion. I would love to see Nintendo get back to that type of dominance, because that was a glorious time. The Super Nintendo was, to me, the best Nintendo generation, was the Super Nintendo.
I mean, I don't think they can ever get to that point. Because we're talking, as much as, and people can debate this, as much as Nintendo games do change, you're still, like, for instance, not every Zelda game is the same,
right?
But they're still Zelda, you know? Yeah. And so until Nintendo starts adding more and more franchises, which I know they're trying to do, but until they add more and more franchises, get third-party support, and get to that level, I mean, they're just so far behind when it comes to, like, PSN and Xbox Live, yeah, all that stuff.
Very true.
Until they get to that point, I don't see them ever being
very true,
even mentioned as legitimate.
Well, and I think those are big parts of it, but I really do think if they were able to deliver on the level of games that the Super Nintendo did, then that would go a long way to making up ground for what they've lost in the networking. Like, for example, you just mentioned some franchises. I think the best Metroid game in the entire Metroid franchise is Super Metroid. I think one of the best Zelda games, probably the best one now that I'm thinking about it, was Link to the Past. I think the best Final Fantasy game was Final Fantasy VI, which was 3 on the Super Nintendo. At least in the USA it was. I think the best versions of most of my favorite franchises were on that system. Mario, I think, was the best. Super Mario World was probably the best Mario, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think if the Nintendo, the next Nintendo system, or a future Nintendo system could recapture that magic of making the best of each of those franchises, of bringing out the best of each of those franchises, that would go a long way in making up for...
But that's what I'm trying to say, is they're the best to you because, and I'm not saying it's all nostalgia, because I actually think the games you're listing off are great games, but they're also games that you played early on in your gaming life.
That's true.
So that's my point true. is, for instance, Mario Kart 8 is not a crap or a slouch of a Mario Kart game. It's probably the best Mario Kart game ever released. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not the one I've played the most. It's not even close. I probably put 5-10 hours into it because I was like, I've done this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I put thousands of hours into Mario Kart 64.
I was just going to say, 64 actually, was my most played, yeah.
And Mario Kart 64 is probably one of the worst when it comes to reviews, because a lot of people didn't like how it played. But it was actually the best me.
Good point. That's a great point.
So that's the point I'm trying to make, is while I love all these franchises, I really do love them, and you will always hear me say, I'm buying it, I still feel like until they offer us something like a brand new IP, like, for instance, I'm just going to use this example. I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but Sony announced a new IP this year. It's coming out later on this year, Horizon. And as soon as people saw it,
I can't wait.
They weren't like, "Oh, I've played that before."
Ugh.
Or it's just another one of another Mario game.
Ugh.
No, they went, "Oh my gosh, I've never seen this before."
Right. Right.
From Sony. And Sony has a ton of exclusives. So that's what I'm talking about. I do think Nintendo, and I'm not a Nintendo basher. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't just make up these arguments to hate on them. But to me, until Nintendo comes out and says, this is our new console, yes, we're going to have all these Mario games and Zelda games and stuff like this, but here's some brand new, mature, real IPs that aren't just look like family-friendly games. Here they are. Here's our new network. Here's how you connect. All that. That's when I think people will go, crap, they're real. They're back. They're doing what we want again.
Yeah, I think that could work.
And I don't know if they'll ever do that. I just think they're stuck in this is who we are.
I think that could work. For me personally, if they came back and said, we are basically, whether it's not going to be a launch, these aren't going to be launch titles, but in this system's generation, in this system's life cycle, you are going to see a brand new entry from Mario, Metroid, Star Fox, F-Zero, Zelda, maybe even bring back Earthbound. Like if they were to actually revisit all of these favorite franchises and hit, it doesn't have to be the best version. I'll step back from that a little bit. But a solid version of each of those franchises and stop only giving us Mario and Zelda and then maybe giving us a little Kirby or something like that. No, give us some of your best franchises and give us a brand new game in each of those. To me, that trumps any kind of new, interesting, maybe even mature IP. I'd much rather see them get back to some of these things that made their core Super NES lineup so strong. And that is hit some of those favorites. Stop ignoring some of the favorites like F-Zero, like Metroid. Those are just getting ignored, and it doesn't make sense to me. If their new system were to hit all those, maybe even include a new Pokemon game, like this console version of a Pokemon game everyone's been asking for years. You know, hit one of each of these. Keep it more family focused. That's fine. You know, target more of a specific audience. Let Xbox and PlayStation focus on that, you know, more mature audience, and you focus on something that's a little bit broader for an entire family. I think they could see success there too. But I'll be interested to see what they do. I think the strategy you suggested could be effective too to generate both could generate excitement.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I understand what you're saying, and I do think that can be effective. But I think it is harder to sell to families than it is to the hardcore gamer now. The hardcore gamer, and I'm considering us hardcore gamers, while I play Nintendo games, and you obviously play Nintendo games, but you didn't even buy a Wii U, and that's not a knock on you, that's just you taking a stance and saying, look, you're not offering enough for me
at the
price that you're giving. But it's so much easier right now to sell to somebody like, I don't even want to say me because I buy everything, but like somebody who likes mature games because there's so many of them. Sony and Microsoft have sold a lot of systems for their Xbox One and PS4, and they did not sell them to soccer moms who were buying them for their three kids. Sure, there are people that bought PS4s that did that, but most of those millions and millions are from us.
Yeah.
Gamers, yeah. People that are like, that's what I want. And that's the thing. I think Nintendo relies too much on, well, the Wii was huge because we sold it to families, but none of them followed you. They bought the Wii, and then I have this from, this isn't just something I'm making up in my head. This is from conversations with people that bought the Wii that don't play games. And I'm like talking to them about the Wii U, and they're like, so what is that? Is that just a Wii? Like, they don't see a reason to upgrade or move on from the Wii.
Right.
Like, that was just a one-time anomaly.
Yep.
They're not going to go with that anymore.
Yeah.
So those people are done. The people you need to sell to are people who are, again, can't really say me because I'm going to buy everything, but maybe you who wants a more mature experience while still getting that family IP that they offer.
Yeah, no, you're
and again,
right.
I don't want to lump everything Nintendo and just say everything Nintendo does is family. It's not. Nintendo has some mature games. Bayonetta 2 released on the Wii U. That's very mature.
Well, and Metroid and Zelda aren't exactly like Saturday morning kids cartoons.
Yeah, those aren't like kiddie games. Yeah. Those are games that mainly adults really, really like. So they have plenty of franchises like that. So I don't want to get into that. But what I'm talking about is like, they're not offering a Quantum Break, a Horizon. You know, they're not offering those type of experiences at all. And they're not getting it from third party. So when you go into buying, and again, I'm just going to use the Wii U as an example because they haven't given us any information on the NX. When you go into buying a Wii U, you're literally going into it investing $300 in only their IPs.
True.
Because very most true. Third-party support is not there, and the ones that are there are of lower value, lower level than what you can get on a PS4 or an Xbox One version.
You know, that's a fantastic point, because much of the glory and nostalgia that I feel for the Super NES days had to do with their amazing partnerships with third parties. I mean, just wonderful partnerships with Atlas and with Square and with all these companies, with EA and with Activision, and they were partnering with everybody for the biggest,
if you look,
the biggest releases.
I went on Wikipedia and I clicked on the Super NES, and it tells you like the top four or five selling games on there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Super Mario was one because it's a pack-in game. It even says it's packed in. It sold 20 million copies. Right. And then Mario Kart was an... no, it wasn't Mario Kart. It was Donkey Kong, which was another packed-in game, which
franchise.
Was like 9 million. But the other two were third-party games. One of them, and I don't have it in front of me, was Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Loved it.
Yeah, that one sold like 6 or 7 million. And then there was another one that sold 8 million that was third-party.
Yeah.
And but it was exclusive to... the Super NES, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, the picture that I painted was, you know, of course, coated with nostalgia, and I'll totally admit that. Like, a lot of that is not necessarily what would do it for everybody, but it would certainly do it for me. What you described, Nintendo, not necessarily just bringing back their old IPs, maybe doing that too, but combining that with new, fresh ideas, taking a page out of Sony and Microsoft's playbook and surprising us a little bit more than just a new Splatoon type of a family game.
Yeah.
Which is good. Splatoon does what few games do. Only Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare also offers a family-friendly shooter. That and Splatoon are the only family-friendly shooters I can think of. So I like that. I like that they tackled that genre. But you're right. There's a big empty gap of games that the Wii U is feeling right now, and yeah, if they were to approach that differently with the NX, whatever the system ends up being, and just have a wave of games, a combination of third and first party, that's all pie in the sky. I don't think that's going to happen, but if they figured out a way to do that, that would certainly excite me and get me very interested, much more than of course the Wii U did, and maybe to the same amount that a full-on nostalgic trip would, you know, with the new system as well. But yeah, I'll admit to you, I certainly do get really excited and a little bit rose-colored glasses looking back at those games, but I'm not ashamed of it. I freaking loved that fourth generation, that Super NES. Really, really did. And games keep popping in my head that I want to mention, but I'll let it go. There's so many good ones. So before we close out, I do want to ask you, did you play any handhelds then? Did you play Game Boy or Game Gear? Or Lynx, I guess?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't care about Game Boy, and I remember my friend having Game Gear and having Mortal Kombat on it. By the way, I was obsessed with Mortal Kombat. And he had like Mortal Kombat on it, and I was like, oh, I need this. I need it just for Mortal Kombat, even though it was a terrible version of it.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, like I said before, we did grow up with Game Boys, and it wasn't until they released... which one was it? Was it the Game Boy... I forget which one it was that... It might not be till the Game Boy Advance SP that they had a backlit screen. But the biggest weakness of those systems was that, like, on a long trip, you would have to have some kind of a light source. And, yeah, they had the little things where you could add on a little clip, you know, and it would put a light on your screen, and those were fine. But it took them a while to get around to that. But, yeah, you could use four batteries with those old-school VHS tape-sized Game Boy systems, and those would last a pretty decent amount of time compared to the six batteries used in a Game Gear, which would maybe make it through one level of Sonic before you got to swap them out. So I loved the battery life on the Game Boy. My first Game Boy game was Speedy Gonzales. That was randomly. I don't know why that's the first game my parents got for me, but that's what they picked.
Terrible taste.
It was not a good game. Very floaty. But anyway, Game Boy was my portable game of choice. Game Gear was cool, though. It was in color. It had a backlit screen. It was flashier, but I liked the Game Boy games a lot better. So, all right, well, tell you what, we're going to do this again. I don't know if it'll be next week, but we will definitely do it again on a future show. We'll revisit this this topic of our favorite consoles from a specific generation, and next time we will tackle the fifth generation, which includes the Jaguar, N64, Saturn and the PlayStation 1. So that's going to be an interesting one. We'll tackle that one next time around. So, Derek, let's get things wrapped up here, buddy. Let's give you a moment, collect yourself, gather your thoughts, and deliver to our community some words of wisdom.
Well,
who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things here.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
We had already pushed it a little bit, and you just threw us way over the line. Love it.
Yeah, I literally pushed this show too far.
All right, well, submit all your complaints to one Mr. Derek Teague. I will not be responding to those. He's going to have to handle those. That'll be good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation this week, and we will be back next time. Please, please be sure to join our group on Facebook, Fathers of the Grind. It's a great community. We'd love to see you on there. Thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.